Chicago. This is your new morning routine. Cap and J-Hood. Follow Cap J-Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Stream the show on the new ESPN Chicago app. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now, on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Woo! Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out, bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
So, I am watching the baseball game, the White Sox game, yesterday afternoon. It was a nice early game. I'm relaxing, and my friend Jonathan Hood's on the radio. There's the game. Well, we got a hell of a pitcher's duel here. Sonny Gray, Dallas Keuchel, and it keeps going, it keeps going. It's 0-0. And Hoodie, I'm like, why are they doing what they're doing? There must be an explanation. I know the rules are new. Maybe I don't know the rule. And I probably didn't know the rule. I'm not going to BS you. And then I watched Leury Garcia try to steal against Tucker Barnhart. May not be a great player.
Yeah.
That guy can flat out throw. He's got a hose. Gets thrown out. I tune into you in the postgame, and I'm like, oh, my guy is chomping at the bit to go here.
And I could not.
What's going on?
And I could not. I just, you know, it's so, from a White Sox fan standpoint, Cap, it's just embarrassing that Tony La Russa did not know the rules about having Liam Hendricks at second base. It didn't seem right. I mean, he's a closer, right? He has to be the guy that's at second base. You could change him out, but he did not know. You know what's worse? Is that Miguel Cairo didn't know. The rest of his staff didn't know. See, this is one of the talking points I told you going into the season. I said, Cap, you know, Tony La Russa is a Hall of Fame manager. He's been there and done that, right? He knows everything. I said, but there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve. He has not been in a uniform for a while. That's why you have to have experience, especially new experience, on the bench next to you. It's like, hey, Tony, you haven't been around for a while, but this is what's changed Major League Baseball. Tony was so in tune, I thought, to what was going on because he's up in the front office of the Red Sox. And so you would think that he would know. But Miguel Cairo should know. Katz should know. His staff should know. It's like, hey, you know, you don't have to have the closer at second base. And then on top of that, I will double down and just talk about Leury Garcia. How is it that he's sent by La Russa? Did he think that in that spot there would be a defensive indifference by the Reds? They think that's like, oh, they're just going to let him go because that run doesn't. No, it all matters, especially with that catcher behind home plate for the Reds cutting down Garcia. It was just a mess, a microcosm at times of White Sox baseball where you look like you don't know what you're doing. Hall of Fame manager, yes. Been there and done that, yes. But you can't have those mistakes because that's on the manager.
Okay, and we'll hear from Tony in a second. What I don't understand is, and I referenced Ernie Adams when we were in the IDOT bullpen earlier,
yeah,
getting ready.
Yep.
And Ernie Adams is the guy who's in Bill Belichick's ear. He doesn't do interviews. He is basically this mythical figure, but he exists. He's up in the booth, and he will be the guy, Bill, do this, because he knows every rule backward and forward. He's the guy at the league seminar, everything. How do the White Sox have a staff that does not know the rule, and then David Bell, the manager of the Reds, goes, oh, they made it clear to all of us in spring training what the new rule is. How does that happen?
I just can't be embarrassed. Like, you can be embarrassed by a team beating you or out hustling you. That happens, right?
Correct.
It's a long season. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to look back and say, oh, I should have done this. But see, you can't have James Fagan from The Athletic telling you what the rule is when you're the manager.
Here it is.
Tony, Osada using Hendricks as the runner in the second inning, was that an intentional choice? As the rule book says, you could have used Abreu as the pinch runner in that case.
Well, you have to use the guy who made the last out, and that was Vaughn, not Abreu. So Vaughn made the last out.
The rule book, the MLB.com said if the player in the batting order immediately preceding that half innings leadoff hitter is the pitcher, the runner placed on second base may be the player preceding the pitcher in the batting order. Did like the umps explain anything like that? Or?
Well, you know, I didn't know that. We all thought that Liam was going to be the runner, and that's why I wanted there, because if you wanted a double switch to keep him in the game, if you look at all, you know, Abreu back to Moncada and so forth, that's not who you want to double switch out of the game. I wasn't aware that Abreu could have run. I thought it had to be the guy who made the last out or that spot in the order.
Okay. That cannot ever happen. Now, in the longer segment that I heard on the Waddle and Sylvie show yesterday, he said, correct me if I'm wrong, you were hosting the postgame show. He said, our coaches went out there and said, he has to run. And this is Tony. Mm-hmm. I said, yes, I know he does. So you're telling me, if I take that soundbite at face value, our coaches went out there was the words. That the umpires gave them the wrong rule and they regurgitated the wrong rule to Tony and he agreed with it. That's a comedy of errors that can't happen. Cringeworthy.
It's not up to the umpires to let them know what the rules are.
Thank you.
I mean, it is, they could say that, yes, but also you have to have your own rule book because umpires make mistakes too.
Correct.
So I guess my point is that if you need the umpire to tell you what the rule is, then you already have a problem. Because you should already have that right there in the dugout, or someone should be telling you, like, this is what the rule is.
Correct.
Now, of course, on top of all of this, and this is going to get buried today, but I got to just bring it out. You know, it's funny how baseball works, right? You win a game, you know, was it 9-8 against the Reds night before?
Yeah, 9-0.
9-0 the night before, and then you can't hit the baseball. That's also problematic that you can be lights on one day and lights off the next. And it was really too bad because it was a great outing by Keuchel. One of the questions that we had was, can Keuchel go more than 4 or 5 innings? He went 7 in a really good pitching matchup against Sonny Gray. So no hitting on top of that. A good outing by Keuchel. But it all comes down to a couple plays. How many times has Wanstead told you, oh, if it wasn't for this play, if it wasn't that play, we could have won the game,
game
right?
Game comes down to 4 plays.
Sometimes it comes down to just a few. And that came down to that. To have Hendricks at second base, for him to be running the closer, he was just a fish out of water. I didn't understand why he was out there. And then just to the idea that you're giving Garcia the green light. Now, we didn't know as the game's going. I was like, did Garcia go on his own or was he sent? He was sent. La Russa said so.
Right, because the term green light means you can go whenever you want. Like Billy Hamilton has a green light.
Yes.
Just use your best judgment. But we trust you. Go. Certain guys don't. They're not giving your mean Mercedes the green light to run whenever he wants. That's the comparison.
Right.
So I heard green light. Okay. He went on his own. Whatever. Stupid. We'll talk about. And then when Tony said, well, we were trying to steal there to stay out of the double play. Billy Hamilton, if the ball's hit on the ground, Billy Hamilton is not getting doubled up unless it is literally right back to the pitcher.
You've got to stop putting Billy Hamilton in these situations because he's just not going to give you what you want. He's hitting $1.36 for a reason.
Do you know what he is? He's Terrence Gore. Remember the guy the Cubs had? When did they pick him up? At the trade deadline in July of 16 when they went, all right, we're going to the playoffs. Obviously, we're 40 billion games up. We'll have him as a gimmick guy in the playoffs,
sure.
Which they did.
Sure.
That's what Billy Hamilton has been reduced to.
Can I add, though, Woody, you're right. Like, Billy Hamilton being up in these situations is problematic, mm-hmm. but this is going to occasionally arise when you have key hitters like Luis Robert and Eloy Jimenez done for as long as they're going to be. So you're going to occasionally be in these positions, but this goes back to then the problem of you, the manager, and your coaching staff not knowing the rule, because when Hamilton comes up in that situation with a runner on third base, who in this case happens to be Liam Hendricks, Tony La Russa is talking about in the postgame, they didn't want to bunt because they wanted to avoid contact with Liam Hendricks. Well, had Jose Abreu been on third like he should have been, you could have done the one thing that Billy Hamilton can actually accomplish,
squeeze.
Which is bunt.
Yeah, squeeze. Yeah, suicide squeeze.
Like, it was awful.
Like,
right?
That's all Billy Hamilton can really do at the plate effectively is bunt. And he's up there in this situation, but you can't even do that because Liam Hendricks is on third base because you did it.
You think Ricky Renteria is at home in San Diego going collecting his money?
Right.
He's a great man. As a person, he's as good as they come. You think he's at all? He's not a vindictive guy. That's just not who Ricky is. He was happy for the Cubs when they won, even though he got fired there. Do you think there's any chance that Ricky was having a cocktail with his wife last night in San Diego going, what happened? Take that.
Yeah. No, I mean, more than once this year. I'm sure he's done that at least four or five times, saying, wow, look at this, right?
Right.
Hall of Fame manager, tenured professor, but also a guy that's having a hard time here. Mm-hmm. So I know there'll be people on one side of the ledger said the manager does not matter. Well, I mean, Tony's been under scrutiny from the beginning, Cap. When we think about four or five losses that the White Sox have suffered, there's at least two or three times in which starting pitching went over the 100-pitch threshold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know about you, but when I'm watching a game, I don't care if it's a Sox or an out-of-town ball game, when I start seeing the pitch count on the screen, it goes, you know, 89, 95, 100, 105. Oh, 105. Because now as baseball fans, we're looking at, we got to get that guy out of there. Not by analytics, just because you want to save the arm.
Especially in April.
Well, sure.
If it's August, September, you're in a race, I get it.
It's so important for Giolito to throw 114 pitches in April. Was it important for that? I mean, for Rodon, for some of these other pitchers that the Sox have had as pitching over 100 pitches, is that important in April? It's important in September to make sure that they're healthy and alive.
Agreed.
And ready to go. And so, you know, and then you're trying to play for a single a couple of weeks. Oh, we're playing for the single. You know, it just I don't understand the philosophy. I thought it'd be a learning curve in April, right? Like, okay, he's got to know his players, what they can and cannot do. You've been out of the game for a while. Let me take a look at my roster. What can they do? What can't they do? Now we are in May, and you're making that kind of mistake?
See,
now don't worry about Renteria. Think about Rick Hahn. What do you think he's thinking?
Oh, God.
What do you think he's thinking?
Can I get a bourbon in this skybox, please?
Not his hire, but you gotta think that Rick's got to say, really? Is this really happening again?
To that point, Hoodie, so they're 16-13 right now. They're three games above 500. They're tied for first in the American League Central. So you're like, they're tied for first.
And their series is for first place this weekend.
With the Royals. But here, to your point about what Rick Hahn is thinking, Daryl Van Scowen of the Sun-Times tweeted this out yesterday after the game. The White Sox lead Major League Baseball in on-base percentage at .344. That's a great stat to lead baseball.
It is, sure.
That's, you know,
and that's all approach.
If that hasn't been ingrained in your head at this point, I can't help you. Theo Epstein talked about it back in Boston when he came into Chicago. You want guys on base. The White Sox are leading baseball in on-base percentage.
Sure.
They rank second in American League in batting average, something we talked about the other day. I know you did like a whole hour on the rain delay theater for the Sox game about the batting average. They have the second best batting average in baseball, .261, run differential, +37. That's second. All of these stats. Oh, yeah, starters in baseball, their starters ERA, second in baseball, best in the American League, 3.01. All those underlying stats point to a team that should be better than 16-13.
That's fair.
But they may end the weekend clearly in first.
We will see.
All right, here's your chance. Sox fans, vent. How do you feel about your team? Tied for first. How do you feel about your manager after yesterday's embarrassment that cannot ever happen again? 312-332-3776. Cap J Hood. Take that.
This is Cap and J Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
And this is what Waddle's going to look at. Here's Hoodie walking in.
He wouldn't even dap me. I gave him a little dap to say, hey, no dap.
He's patronizing you, too.
No, I wasn't.
With the red stuff.
Is it a safe space now? Is it a safe space? Can I say something now?
Yes. Sure.
Are we done now? Are we off the White Sox network
Let
now?
Let it go, Hoodie.
What the hell? What the hell? See, here's what you don't want, Tom. You don't want to have the feeling, I haven't slept.
Okay, that's all right.
So, you know, so
I love a real good time.
So there's no nap. Like, you know, it was like 3 hours of sleep. Did the White Sox
game. Morning show, afternoon game.
You know, so.
Yeah, it'd still be all day.
So it's been one, right? So here's what you don't want. Tom, you don't want to have the narrative to be true about Tony La Russa, right? Like, oh, he's too old for the job and he's out of touch and all that. But when you got 4 and 5 examples of it.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Well, not only that, Jonathan, but as I said, look, at the very least, what you were hoping for because of his Hall of Fame status was a tactical advantage with regard to strategy.
Right.
And he's failed that exam as well. I mean, Garcia running to me is like, I quit playing baseball at the high school level. I knew that that was a crazy strategy.
I asked, you know, the network with the hands folded. We don't know whether or not he had the green light or not. We'll find out coming up. And then you come to find out he had the green light. Yeah. He was sent to second base. Right. Sense.
We're being aggressive, right?
I like this Jonathan better than me.
I like both Jonathans. A guy I work with every day is my favorite, but Network Jonathan's pretty awesome.
Pretty amazing.
Well, Network Jonathan has perspective, right? Mm-hmm. There's perspective there where you're just trying to find out all the information. Fan Jonathan, the guy that grew up 20 minutes from Old Comiskey, that guy was pissed yesterday, like he is today,
okay,
for sure.
So we went out to dinner last night at an awesome place for my brother's birthday. My brother Bruce said, dude, I know you go to bed early. We're staying up.
Happy birthday, Bruce.
There you go. We went to Sistaria in Lincolnwood. Awesome Greek food. The whole topic at the table was the manager of his favorite baseball team. How can you hire a guy and pay him whatever it is they're paying him? $3-5 million a year. How can that happen? Okay, you could say, hey, guess what? He made a dumb pitching move. Every manager does.
Sure.
Why would you steal there? Dumb move. Every manager does. Sylvie made a great point yesterday. Joe Maddon won the freaking World Series, and we blasted him after Game 7. That's baseball.
Sure.
You don't know the rules? You don't. If it was a spring training game and a rule change, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, that's spring training. That's a dress rehearsal. You don't know the rules. And you want those 26 men to look to the front of the room and go, I'm following that guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen. The way I look at it is like this. Like, I blame Tony, but I also blame the staff, too. Someone has to know the new rules, especially if it was laid out for you before the season. David Bell says he knew the rule. And so, here's the thing that I look at the most, Cap, is that it's not about change the game, hashtag change it. It's about changing the narrative with the White Sox, right?
Agreed.
Because the feeling is like Tony's over his head. You know, the game's passed him by. And remember, there was scrutiny about the hire when he first got here anyway.
Correct.
So now he has to be able to change the narrative. It's like, no, I still know the game. The game's passed you by. The game has not passed me by. I know what's going on. Yes, the White Sox are 16-13. I told you going into the season that I think the Sox are one season away from getting to the World Series.
You did.
It wasn't this year. I said next year. But the thing is, you cannot make mistakes, glaring mistakes. And I also go by the theory of this. Never let them see you sweat. Don't tell people what you don't know. Now, he could have just been there steadfast and just like, you know what? That was the way I wanted to play the game. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be aggressive on the base pass with Garcia. And I thought that having Hendricks out there because I want a minute for the next inning, that's what I wanted to do because I wanted to bring it back for the next inning. He could have said that.
He could have.
But just laying it all out there like, I don't know. When Fagan from The Athletic has to tell you the rule, you're like, I didn't know that. How does it make the organization look? Because you don't want to look like a fool. That's all I'm saying, is that you don't have to tell people what you don't know. You learn from your mistakes.
Like, well, you know, I didn't know that.
What do you mean you didn't know?
So I remember having this debate with Joe Maddon and Dusty. I remember Dusty coming just drilling me after I did a post game. Hey, dude, I heard you yesterday saying, "Why? What is Dusty an idiot? Why didn't he use that guy?" He said, did you know that guy had been out the night before and we had him on video and he rolled in at 5 a.m? You didn't know that because I'll never throw my player under the bus.
Right.
I'll take the bullet. Why'd you use Jonathan Hood instead of your ace, Danny? Because Danny was out till 5 a.m. I'm not going to tell you that. But maybe I have more data than you do. Okay, I get it. Tony will take those slings and arrows because he's Tony. You can't not know the rules. And if I'm Jerry, the phone would have rung in your house, Tony.
Sure.
Hey, I'm going to say this one time. I love you. I hired you. That cannot happen again. either get a new coach, tell Rick you need another guy up in the booth to know the rules, or get a freaking rule book. That can never happen again.
Just understand, Jeff, it's Hall of Fame manager Tony La Russa. That's because, and that, you know why I got that? All those wins, all those championships. So they put you in a position because they said, okay, we can take another couple of steps by getting rid of Renteria and having La Russa in place as a manager. That means La Russa knows every angle, right? Knows how to be able to manage every angle of a game.
Strategic advantage.
So, yeah, that's probably he's got to be one of the best because he's in the Hall of Fame for being that guy.
Correct.
Tactician, knows exactly all the angles, everything, that knows the rule book backwards and forwards, and looking feeble up there. Feeble, like I don't know any better. Like you're supposed to know better. That's my whole thing. Is that you don't want to expose yourself as someone that's not aware of what's going on.
I'm with you. It was alarming yesterday to see that press conference unfold the way it did, because it's just reinforcing the thoughts that we all have right now. Is that Tony La Russa, at his age, he looks tired up there. I'm sorry, If you're out there, you're winning games, or games are unfolding and your players are being beat on the field, it's one thing. But now you're making tactical mistakes. And this isn't even like, we knew that he'd be more inclined to bunt. He'd be more inclined to let veterans and defensive replacements, Billy Hamilton's playing too much. We had a feeling that might be the mistakes he would be prone to because he has been out of the game for a decade. But the problem now is things like yesterday happening. This is a brand new rule that if not Tony, the coaching staff should have been well aware of, because again, it was harped on in spring training. This is a new rule. The pitchers, they're coming back in the National League. It's not universal DH. So you know what? We don't want pitchers getting hurt because of the ghost runner on second. And if you're defending Tony La Russa because you hate the 10th inning rule, that's a different that you're conflating two
different
things.
You can hate the rule, but you better know it.
Exactly. Right. That is the point.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's go to the phones. 312-332-3776. Jerry's out on I-80. He's first. Hey, Jerry, what's up, Sparky?
This is the fifth game that he's cost us.
Yeah,
just by leaving relievers and starters in too long, not knowing the rules, leaving guys on the bench that have better talent than Garcia and Hamilton batting. How much more do we have to take before Han wakes up? Because certainly Tony La Russa doesn't have a clue.
Well, okay, I'll push back on this part of it, Jerry, and I don't disagree with you in the premise that stuff can't happen. There's no guarantee. He didn't cost them five games by not hitting Andrew Vaughn in a certain situation. There was no guarantee Andrew Vaughn's going to hit a three-run home run to win.
That's correct.
He didn't put your team in the best position five times. That's
okay.
What he did.
So that's one game out of five. You had four more wins. Look in the statistics, the MLB statistics. We have five saves out of a possible 11 save opportunities. That's got to fall on the manager sooner or later. He does not know what he's doing there. He needs to wake up. I think Gene Lamont was more awake than this guy.
Appreciate the call, man. Have a great day. If I'm a Sox fan,
Sleepy Gene.
If I was a diehard, I'd wake up this morning so effing pissed off. You want me to every day get done with work, make sure the kids are fed, make sure the bills are paid, and my 3 hours of entertainment are going to be my favorite baseball team. And that is going on?
Yes. As I mentioned, it's layered because I didn't like the approach for the Sox offensively, only scratching out two hits after Keuchel was able to pitch his heart out. Seven innings pitch,
he was
two
great.
Hits and a strikeout. He was very good. That's what we're looking for. I want him to now catch up to Cease and Rodon in that regard. So that's part of the game, too. But here's what you don't want if you're Tony La Russa. Man, listen. You're 16-13. Doesn't mean that the season's lost. Doesn't mean that the Sox are bad, because Jeff already quoted some really good numbers about the Sox through the first month plus. But you know how Sox fans look at this team, right? They're saying, boy, we're close. And you don't want to take a step back because the manager isn't doing the right thing by his players. You don't want to be able to squander a season because you didn't do the right things in game. And again, you're going to lose some ball games, but it's so glaring. Captain, it's so glaring. And then you fall on your own sword and you're just like, yeah, I didn't know the rule. I didn't know.
It's awful. And by the way,
that kind of transparency, I don't want to hear.
Do you know who number one is in run differential in the American League? Number one.
Sox there?
By a mile.
Yeah.
The White Sox. Number two in all of baseball. Mallard gave you a bunch of other numbers. Like, there's a lot of good going on.
Absolutely.
There. And
absolutely.
They're tied for first. 312-332-3776. We'll go to your calls, your chance to vent. Okay, if you're waking up and you're a White Sox fan, you pour yourself a cup of coffee and you're ticked, we'll let you vent. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
So something weird going on here, or something you don't see every day anyway. Liam Hendricks is the runner at second base for the White Sox as we begin the top of the 10th.
I think he probably volunteered. He said, yeah, I'm in for Vaughn right now. I'm going to run, too.
Here's the pitch. Garcia's going to take off for second base. The throw down by Barnhart gets him.
I don't know what we're doing. No idea. He's one of the best throwing catchers in all of baseball. I have no idea why you'd be trying to steal with a runner on third base, a pitcher who's not going to be on a double steal. Just feel that Larry Garcia must have thought because the infield was drawn in that he could beat the shortstop over there. And he was out by a good bunch.
Base hit wins it for the Reds. Hendricks looking to keep him out of that. Brings home the 2-2, and it's into center field. The Reds have won the ball game. 1-0 the final after 10. Jesse Winker pokes a single into center field, and the White Sox fall.
Wow. I mean, that's, I'm a baseball guy. If I watched that in a Blue Jays game, I'd be like, that's a joke. How does that freaking manager not know? Tony La Russa? Tony La Russa. Like, when they hired him, I went, well, you got a big strategic advantage.
Right.
Maybe he's a little older. But we elect a president who's 70-whatever years old every 4 years. They're
sure.
Always old.
Sure.
You can manage a team. You got to know the GD rules, man.
You just have to. You just have to know. And you just don't want the White Sox, where people will be pointing at the White Sox in a negative light. There are positives with this baseball team, but then the biggest glaring issue is Tony. Again, he's polarizing. Go to the Sox Twitter. I know that's just a percentage of what people think about the White Sox on social media, but when you see the timeline of people just going, you know, go through and they're talking about Tony, and they're talking about four or five different games in which Tony has made mistakes or Tony's left pitchers in too long. Look, it's up to pitchers and players to execute. We know that, Cav. You got to execute. I understand that. But don't put yourself in a position where you're hamstringing your team. Right?
Agreed.
Liam Hendricks at second base is the most ridiculous thing that I've seen this year in baseball.
It's crazy.
When you could have replaced it with someone else. Now, listen, what I could make the case first and third, you do a suicide squeeze, right, and be able to do that. It doesn't mean that the run would come home, but that's a better play than having Hamilton at the plate or Hendricks at third base and then trying to steal second and telling Garcia to go and telling him to go.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing.
I don't
DJ's
either.
Right.
Let's go to Josh. Hey, Josh, what's up, Sparkles? 312-332-3776.
Cap, Hoodie, good morning, fellas.
Morning, Josh.
The sad thing is, about all this, boys, I'm not surprised at all. This is the worst fear of a good portion of White Sox fandom. This is our worst fear that we had back when this decision was announced. And the thing that kills me is that Rick Hahn has rebuilt what was a clunker into a Tesla, mm-hmm. And then we gave the keys to a dude who's used to driving a jalopy. I mean, I cannot understand this, boys. I'm going to hang up and listen, but TLR's got to go.
I heard.
And that's never, unless he walked away, and he'll never do that, I don't think. You think Jerry's going to pull the plug on TLR? No chance.
No. There's a reason why he's put it. Like I said at the beginning, and Rick Kahn regurgitated what I said. Remember I was telling you the whole, you know, I was doing the Jerry thing. He's like, I'm doing it right or wrong. I'm going to bring you back. And because he's trying to put Tony in a position where it's like, man, I know we won the World Series, but it would have been really special if it was with you, my friend Tony, a guy that should have been fired from the beginning. But you know how Jerry is, loyal to a fault.
He is.
Right? And so Hawk Harrelson says,
which
I want...
Which is admirable.
Yeah, which is to a point. Not when it affects business, though.
Agreed.
That's the issue.
Agreed.
It's great to have loyalty, but if it affects business, it's something different.
Agreed.
And so he just went along with what Hawk wanted. Hawk says, I'm gonna get rid of this guy and bring in someone new. Okay, so a young Jerry at the time is like, okay, well, you're the GM. You decide what you want to do. But that was his friend. A guy that won the American League West with when Tony La Russa was the manager there.
Winning ugly.
I mean, it was a great team, right? And so they've been friends for a long time. They've always had a connection. And he looks at the ball club, Jerry, and says, you know what? At the right time, I'm going to bring my friend back. And I said at the time, be careful with that now. He's been out of baseball for a while. He's a Hall of Fame manager. And then we equated him to like Bobby Cox or Jack McKean because there's veteran older managers, right? Mm-hmm. But he seems like two steps behind everyone else in baseball in that spot.
He does.
The problem.
And I said when he got hired, I said, I understand he's been out of the game a long time. And somebody who works over there said he's been in the front office of the Diamondbacks.
Red Sox.
And he worked with the Red mm-hmm. Sox and the Angels. He's been in the game. There's a difference standing on the sidelines when it moves. Like, I remember when we coached basketball. Why didn't you put that guy? Didn't even think of it. Because you're so focused on the ref screwed us on that call. Sure. Why did we not make that bounce, Pat? It's different, man. Sitting in a skybox with a bunch of food watching the game.
Yeah.
It's different.
But this is, again, with all this stuff, we haven't even gotten to, there's other things you can yell about. The fact that they're pitching to Jesse Winker, who has the game-winning hit yesterday. He might be the hottest in baseball for the last 2 weeks, the hottest hitter in baseball.
Agreed.
You know, you easily could have walked him in that situation, but at least it should have been in consideration. You didn't even have time to ask Tony La Russa about that because there were so many other things you had to pin him down on about the previous inning. It's maddening right now.
It is maddening.
Yeah, it is.
And he's the hottest hitter behind Mariznick and Matt Duffy. Take that. Tim in Tinley Park. Hey, Tim, what's up, man?
All right. As the great Aaron Rodgers once said, relax. First of all, we got our team in first place. You haven't had Anderson. You haven't had Eloy. You haven't had Roberts. Giolito's been a fraud so far.
Anderson's
our
playing.
MVP is hitting less than 200. We're in first place. Relax about this game. I mean,
what I'm going to need from you, Tim. I'm not going to tell you how to fan. You're not going to tell me how to fan either. How about that?
How about you wanted AJ Hinch? He's got 9-22 record. He's banging drums trying to scrape 10 wins.
He's got a worse team than the White Sox.
I might not be able to tell you how to be a fan.
Yeah.
But you are the same guy who wanted AJ Hinch. So I guess we can go by facts and not opinion.
Sure. And the fact is that AJ Hinch doesn't have the ball club that the White Sox have.
Yeah, well, A.J. Hinch has a full, healthy team. Sox do not. Sox took third place last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I don't know how good we thought we were last year. We took third. He's got us in first and half our team's out. Our MVP isn't playing, and you want to focus on one game? The managers make mistakes
every single
year, my
friend. We're focusing on five games. And, Tim, we appreciate the telephone call, but here's the one thing that you're not going to do. You're not going to tell me how to fan. If you feel that Tony La Russa is not at fault for anything that's going on, then that's you. Point is that if you're a White Sox fan, if you're a true White Sox fan, the thing is that you want to be able to capture the moment. The team is good. Even without Eloy and Robert, there's plenty of juice on this team offensively. But the point is, though, is that you don't want to beat yourself. Again, you fan the way you want to. And as far as A.J. Hinch is concerned, A.J. Hinch, if he had this ball club, the ball club might be better than it would have. It wouldn't be looking up at Kansas City the last few days. Right? So the feeling from you that, well, La Russa is part of the win. Yeah, he's part of the winning, but also part of the problem as well. See, it's not black and white. You could say the ball club looks good, but there are issues. There are no perfect baseball teams. We're talking about the imperfections we see with the White Sox right now, especially yesterday's game.
Yeah, if you said to me, boy, they don't do a good job with runners at scoring position. Their middle relief is bad. They did that. Even the steal. Okay, I can understand. You don't like the decision? That's fine. Know the GD rules. My manager doesn't know the rules. His staff doesn't know the rules. That's embarrassing.
You don't think that the San Francisco Giants or the A's fan or a Red Sox fan is looking at their team with a critical eye? Doesn't matter if they're first place or not. If you don't look at your team with a critical eye, then you're a moron.
Danny and I battled how many times, how many days over Joe Maddon. If Joe Maddon did not know the rule yesterday, Danny and I would be screaming at each other right now, and I think we'd be in unison. Learn the rules.
Some people are saying it's five games. Whatever. If we say it's three or four, it's May 5th.
Whatever.
It's agreed. May 5th. They're 30 games into the season.
And you don't know the rules.
And you're talking about the manager potentially costing you three or four wins. Like, that amounts to, you know, if we keep at this pace, it's going to be 10 to 12 by the end of the season. We'll see how many games they end up, if they win this division, or what if they lose the division by one, two games at the end of the year? Agreed. You're going to say, oh, it was just May 5th.
Here's Chris real quick in Palatine. Hey, Chris, what's up, man?
Hey, fellas, how are you doing this morning?
Good, what's up?
You know how we're doing, Chris. You know.
Hey. Yeah, I do. I have a question for you both, and this is just perspective. As radio talk show hosts, do you both know all the laws, rules, and regulations of broadcast media?
Yes.
Yeah, when I sit down here and I know my partner does. I know what line we can and can't cross. Yes.
With certainty.
With certainty.
Okay, well, then you're much better than Tony La Russa is at his job, apparently, then. The only thing I would fault the Sox for is not having fail-safe measures in place to say to Tony La Russa, hey, you know we could do this or we could do that. Additionally, you guys replayed Darren Jackson's comments of Liam Hendricks being on second base. He didn't even know the rule because he was making light of it.
Yeah, DJ doesn't manage a ball club. That's the only difference.
It doesn't matter. He's a representative of the team.
No. He's an entertainer.
Wrong.
He's paid to tell you about the game.
Wrong.
And if he didn't know the rule, then he will get a rule book and learn. But guess what? His value decisions don't affect winning and losing.
That's it. We appreciate the phone call.
All right.
By the way, tongue in cheek, there's not that many rules that we had to know for radio.
Exactly.
It's about a handful.
Yeah, there's like seven words. Don't say them. 312-332-3776. Would Jerry Reinsdorf fire Tony La Russa this season?
Jerry La Russa.
That's next.
I don't know what we're doing.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Hey, memo to the powers that be at Valpo. Maybe they could create a class in MLB rules. And part of their sponsorship here, we could give Valpo to give Tony La Russa a free entry into the class. What do you think?
I would ace that class.
We could even do it online.
Does he know how to get online?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I would master that class, man. So what's your major? Baseball management. What about you? Is it a minor or a major? I don't know. But it's cool.
I got coaches for those kind of things.
Yeah, but it's cool, man. Baseball management.
But your coaches don't know the rules either.
Oh. You got Brooksport. I want you to text him. Mm-hmm. I want you to text Boyer for me and tell him, let's go with change the narrative, not change the game. Now, the Sox already changed the game with Tim Anderson and watching this ball club rake every night. Change the narrative of what's going on the South Side. Just remember, many people, we took so many calls from Sox fans, you know, rallying against Tony La Russa being the manager, mm-hmm. saying, like, why is this? The incredulous look on the face of Rick Hahn. And he's like, what do you think about this? He's like, well, you know, we're just going to pretty much go along with it. He never really endorsed Tony at that first press conference, you remember. He was just kind of just sitting there.
This
just
is Tony's day. I'm not speaking.
It's Tony's day. It's not me, right? Because
right.
We know it's a Jerry hire. Man, you don't want to make this mistake. You know why? Because, Cap, it doesn't happen for every team in which you have youth, you got some veterans in there that can make a difference for your baseball team where the arrow's pointing up. You don't want it to go sideways. Remember all the losses that White Sox fans like me had to endure. Over 800 losses between the era of the end of Ozzy into the end of Renteria. That's a lot of losses.
It's a lot of losses.
That's a lot of pain.
And if this weekend goes well against a team that you're significantly better than, even with the injuries, you might wake up Monday morning and go, we're all alone in first place.
You know what else I can't stand? I can't stand the IHSA you know, fandom that tries to rally around Tony La Russa or David Ross or Colleton or Billy Donovan or even Matt Nagy. I get tired of that. If you don't at least question with a critical eye what's going on with the team, then you're just rooting for laundry, as Seinfeld would say.
That's correct.
That's all you. But you
are correct.
You don't necessarily have to bash and just go, just bash your team every night after a game. But there's certain things that you see throughout a season, whatever season it is, where you say, you know what, that could have been better. And for us to be able to get to a championship level, that's got to improve.
You're preaching to the choir. When I did Cubs pre and post,
yeah,
I would go on the post game and openly question the manager.
Sure.
You can't do that. I never had that from my bosses. They never stopped it. But I had people over at the ballpark go, you were doing our post game last night. You were killing the manager. Mm. Yeah. Because you had Steve Cishek in and he walked the entire building till we lost the game. Right. That was dumb.
Right. Right.
I want you to win.
See, you cannot BS the Chicago audience. You just can't do it, Cap.
Agreed.
I mean, it's a major market. If we're doing this show on ESPN Jacksonville and we're doing the Jaguar, that's one thing, right? We're doing the Diamondbacks in Phoenix. It's just like, okay. But in Chicago?
New York, Chicago, Philly, L.A. New York, Chicago, Philly, Boston. Those are the four markets.
You just can't lie. And then to brush it off like, well, you know, Len Casper on TV didn't know the rule. The DJ on the radio didn't know the rule. They're not managing the ball club.
Thank you. Bingo.
Stop it.
Bingo.
Do we know every rule in radio? Yeah, we do.
Yeah, there's seven words we can't say.
Yeah, we know all the rules in radio, yes. The FCC license and the whole thing. And I got the T-shirt.
And now it's only six now that we're no longer owned by Disney, Cap.
Bingo.
It is six. It just can't say it three times.
Correct.
That's the new rule. That's the good karma
rule. That was
rule.
The best line we heard in our meeting with management when our guy Mike said, you could say that, just don't say it three times.
Yes.
Love that
so
guy.
There you go.
All right. Hannes in Joliet. Hannes, what's up, man?
Hi, guys. I'm enjoying your discussion, but I want to give you my take on this. First of all, I give La Russa credit for at least coming out and saying, yeah, I didn't know the rule. He should have known the rule. There's no question on that. But I think the discussion here should be on this rule in particular. This so fundamentally changes the way games are played. And it's just there for time's sake. So you don't have 18-inning games. You will not see that. I think this really, you need to have a discussion on this rule. And maybe in the back of Tony's mind, who's been in the game so long, he so hates this rule, he didn't want to study it. Now, that's not a defense of him, mind you. But I think that we're on the wrong issue here. I think that you should devote some time to that very rule because I think it should be changed. That's my take on the thing.
Yeah, and again, they could have the stupidest rule. I don't. Guess what? You have to play with two left shoes. Guess what? Your team has got to know the rule, no matter how dumb that rule is. And appreciate your call. Know the effing rules. You're a major league manager, let alone a guy who wears his Hall of Fame ring.
Mm-hmm.
Which he earned. He's a Hall of Fame manager.
Absolutely. One of the all-time greats.
Learn the effing rules or get someone on your coaching staff and go, here's your job. You're going to be up in a skybox. You're going to have an IFB down to me or whatever they allow you to do, and I'm going to tell you what the rule is.
That's La Russa. That's the staff. Someone in there needed to know.
Like the Blackhawks have that guy who's up there, and I remember it was a huge goal scored against them in the playoffs. And in somebody's ear on the bench, the guy up there said, Quenville, challenge that. It's offsides. Remember
at Belfour.
It was Harvey Wittenberg. I remember.
Yeah, exactly.
Challenge the plane.
At the 1854 mark.
That's what I
said. Challenge from. And that guy called down, and yeah. Guess what? They reversed the goal, and it was a huge play, and the Hawks won the game. Find that guy.
Challenge the play. Number 12, Tom Lysiak. I think that's
from Pitt Martin and Eddie Olczyk at 1642.
I believe that's what it was. It was Harvey up there, wasn't it?
Yes. 312-332-3776. And by the way, congratulations to the great Eddie Olczyk, just announced as the new announcer for Turner Sports on their NHL package.
Perfect.
So proud of you, Edzo. Our guy Dan Weeder on the Bears and Aaron Rodgers. 2 minutes.
Take that.